Okay, you're back with us for another GoldSeek.com radio episode. Today's special guest, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute. As the U.S. government shutdown enters its second week here, and less than 10 days left to the debt ceiling, the U.S. could default on legal obligations, making the fall of even Lehman Brothers seem trivial. Joining me to discuss the implications of a sovereign debt default, Gerald Celente, the director of the Trends Research Institute. His team produces the Trends Journal. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Chris.
Let's delve into the minutiae of this U.S. debt limit, you know, including the total amount of money the U.S. government can borrow to meet its obligations, such as Social Security, Medicare, military salaries, interest on the national debt. Do you think that this is as big of a deal as some sources indicate?
Yeah, it is. It's a big deal. Not that they won't do it. Of course, they're going to have to do it at some point. But it's a big deal in the sense that, you know, this is another day and just another episode in the world of the incompetence and the inepts. And, you know, we've been going on with this thing for how long when you really think about it? We remember the fiscal cliff we were all going to fall off? And that went on for 2 years. And as it ended up, they downgraded, S&P did, they downgraded U.S. Credit worthiness back in August of 2011. You know, so this thing just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And then we had sequestering, and now we have the shutdown, and now we have the debt ceiling. So what it's doing, it's causing destabilization in a marketplace that's already destabilized. There is no economy. Oh, I forgot tapering. How could I have forgotten tapering? You remember what that did to the markets. So, yes, it's important in the context of the whole.
You make an important point as well that they're certainly going to save us from a debt default. But, you know, many folks claim that we would never see a government shutdown. And here we are, you know, almost 20% of the government, not a huge number, but still 15 to 20% of the government is technically shut down. Maybe they will enter debt default, and that would cause mayhem throughout the global financial system, including the stock and bond markets. Of course, we'd see interest rates soar, and then mortgage expenses would soar. That would crush the nascent housing recovery, putting downward pressure on our economic recovery.
You know, you're looking at a real unraveling of the entire global economic system, because when you look at countries such as China, I mean, what are they? They're holding on to about $1.3 trillion worth of U.S. debt, and Japan and all the others that are so heavily weighed by withholding U.S. debt. You know what this may also end up doing, by the way? It might also end up in a devaluation, official devaluation of the U.S. dollar. I mean, that's if it went to the extreme.
They have no other alternative. We're looking at a mountain of debt. Roughly $2 trillion between Japan and China are two largest holders of T-bonds and notes. $2 trillion would have to be somehow absorbed by the market. The market will not absorb it. It could not stand such a huge sea change. That forces the U.S. Treasury or the Fed or a combination thereof to absorb that $2 trillion. So it would essentially be the U.S. government forgiving its own debts. There's only one way for that to happen and the markets to remain solvent, a U.S. downgrade of the U.S. dollar, the greenback. Do you think we could see a 20-30% or more devaluation?
Well, the United States has done it before. Go back to 1933. The dollar was pegged to gold. And gold, it was pegged, what, at $20.62 an ounce. And then what happened? FDR called in all the gold. If you didn't bring it in, you went to jail. It got fined. And what happened? They sold it back to the government to $20.62 an ounce. And as soon as they got it all in, they repegged the dollar to gold to $35 an ounce. That means they devalued the dollar. You just lost some 70% of your purchasing power. And that's the kind of way that they will do it. They won't do it straight out. In this case, they may. And you know, there's anything can happen. As you just saw what happened, that's you know, made the news and everybody, you know, it's kind of gone over their head. The United States invaded two sovereign countries this past weekend, Libya and Somalia, to find the bad guys. I mean, what if Somalia or Libya, you know, they were heavily armed countries and with substantial militaries, and they came into the United States and for looking for a person that they thought, you know, did something with no proof, but they're suspects and they want to question them. I mean, would America Stanford for one moment? No. And so what I'm saying is, the way things are going, we can have a traumatic geopolitical event occur that's going to get the people's minds off a lot of things, other than more so than a debt ceiling or a shutdown, because they could then blame this on somebody else, and then they could use that as a reason why we can't raise the debt ceiling in this time of crises. So in other words, whatever they do, I don't think they're going to do it so blatantly. There'll be a covering around it of some sort to make it seem like it was a last resort measure.
The threat of debt default is jeopardizing the vestiges of our U.S. AAA debt status. And you did mention the S&P downgraded U.S. debt from AAA to AA. Fitch and Moody's, at last check, I believe, are still holding out with that AAA debt status. If we lose the stability, if that implodes, I think it could threaten, you know, at least that $0.25 trillion worth of interest rate sensitive financial derivatives outstanding. And, you know, our top banks own about half of that. That comes to about $0.25 trillion worth of risk that you might say, well, it's just the banks. But really, we found out recently we're all on the hook for the banks. So is it really just the banks, or is it really we the people who owe this $0.25 trillion sitting on our major banks' balance sheets? And as I said, as that interest rates start to ratchet up, those securities, many of them, begin to implode. Any thoughts?
Yes, of course we the people. We pay for everything. Who bailed out the banks? You know, who bailed out those financial companies and auto companies? It's we the people. We get the tab on everything, and not only in the U.S., everywhere. Look what they've done in Greece and Spain and Ireland and Portugal and Italy. Look at the austerity measures in the U.K. They raised the taxes on the people across the board. Look at the facts. Our median household income is below 1999 levels. And what do? Every city, state, everybody raises their taxes. Look what Obama did after promising not to raise taxes. What did he do? He raised taxes after the election. Look what it's done to retail, the payroll taxes, the little people. Look what's going on now with Obamacare. It raises a tax. I'm not calling it a tax. The Supreme Court called it a tax. So what's going to happen? Do the math. Everybody's being forced to buy insurance. And by the way, who are we buying? This is not socialized medicine. We're buying it from private companies. That's the merger of